It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing good.
Round three of the Big JD and Lippo in the morning show.
Round three.
I love it.
Ding.
It's like a part of my life that I was missing for a year, and now I'm back on track.
Yeah, it was something missing for a little while.
And you know what I think it is? It's the tea that you make me when I come here.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's like it's...
Is it the coffee, tea, or me?
It's the tea.
What's new? What's happening?
This week, what's going on? I don't know. Making it through the days, I guess.
Yeah. No,
it's all good. I think it's... musically, nothing's going on in my life right now. I'm just working on some tunes.
Until a Carparelli's gig. And what do you mean working on tunes?
Not working on new...
Your new album?
Oh, you mean no.
I'm waiting for the Lippo album still.
Are you?
I have no idea why that doesn't happen. You have all the resources at your fingertips. Literally.
Literally.
In his hand right now.
Yeah. I could do it all right now. You want to record something?
Well, yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll do some of it on the show or something.
Like right now. There's like five guitars behind me.
Probably not right now. We don't have all the time in the world. Today, but in a few shows from now, I'd like to do a songwriting show for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have Dick Wagner on that show, okay. Who's coming to Carparelli's, by the way, soon. He's going to be in town for a few things. He's getting inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame here.
Is he really?
Yeah, at the Windsor location and the Chatham-Kent location. And he's here for that film premiere at the Capitol Theater. And I talked to him about that, and I'm going to have him, he's going to be on actually shortly on the show, and he'll tell us about what he's doing here. And although we didn't talk about the Blues Hall of Fame stuff, the Blues Museum stuff.
I don't see him as a blues guy.
Yeah, not necessarily, but there's lots of people that they have hanging on the wall there that aren't necessarily blues guys either. So
what's the deal?
There's not enough
that?
Blues here, that's why.
Well, okay.
May as well throw me on the wall.
And see if it sticks. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'll stick.
He's like a piece of spaghetti.
Am I sticking now? So yeah, Dick Wagner's going to chime in shortly, which is really cool. And we have Kevin Blondin on the show too from Church House, who does lots of promotion here in the city.
Awesome.
Concerts and shows and things like that. Because we're going to talk about that stuff today.
As far as the songwriting thing goes, while I'm thinking about it,
yeah,
who you should interview is Patrick Ballantyne.
Mm-hmm.
He's a
big songwriter around here.
Songwriter from around here. He lives in Toronto now, but that's how he makes a living. He writes songs and people record them and the songs become popular and he gets paid for his work, that's for sure.
A little bit of music news. Bad Company coming out with a little DVD collector set.
Really?
Documentary. On Bad Company. That's
okay.
Kind of cool.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
So you get a documentary, I think some, I don't know, poster pictures or something like that, and a magazine. Some kind of magazine all about
Bad Company.
Them. So, yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be any free stuff in there. And by free, I don't mean stuff that is not costing money. I mean stuff about, because who came from free over to Bad Company? Refresh my memory. There was Kossoff, right?
But Kossoff didn't go to Bad Company. I think he was like the only one that actually was not at some point, maybe in free.
Oh, is that right?
Simon Kirk,
that's what I'm thinking
Of free also had Tetsu and a guy named Rabbit, I think, are the other two guys. Because they did an album, Costs of Kirk, Tetsu, and Rabbit without Paul Rogers too. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. That sounds great. I can't wait to...
Yeah, that'll be cool. I've always liked Bad Company. And free, of course. David Palmer suing Steely Dan for unpaid royalties.
Dave Palmer?
Yeah.
Who's Dave Palmer?
Well, he was a singer for Steely Dan. Sang on something by them, I think. Maybe just one song. Nonetheless, he wants his cash. Yeah, because I don't really know this guy, but that's what it said in what I was reading.
So he might be a dude, because they also had the
but I just know they're getting sued.
Mike McDonald also sang with...
And he, of course, from the first McDonald's restaurant.
No. Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, of course. The good old Doobie Brothers. I saw them way back on, I want to say, maybe What's Happening or something like that.
What's Happening?
Yeah, they were on the show. What's Happening? What's Happening, Raj? And let's see what else is in the news. 2014 marks 40 years since Rush's debut album, and they're coming out with a vinyl edition remastered of the record album. And the original, it's mastered from the original that was released on their first label, Moon Records, I think it was, before going to Mercury. So that's kind of neat. And then again, you get some posters and lithos, 5x7s, and a couple other things, a Rush family tree poster, and a download card, so you can download the digital version as well.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
That's 2014 this is happening?
2014, 40 years, yeah.
40 so years.
Yeah, 40 years since that first Rush album.
That's amazing. And I can remember when they played at Belver High School. And they played with a band called Rose, Russian Rose.
Wow. Were they local Russian Rose?
No, they were from Russia.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't. They were not from Russia. But I remember trying to scrounge up the $6 to get into that show. And I only had three. And I was looking for pop bottles, the whole thing. Could not do it.
But one thing we can do is talk to Dick Wagner right now about his upcoming appearance here at Carparelli's. Dick, are you there?
I'm so happy to be with you, Jenny. I am just very happy. It's been a while.
Yeah, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, of course. Not only Women Bleed, your book, you're still doing appearances in support of it, and you're in Windsor in just a couple weeks at Carparelli Sound Lounge, Sunday, March 16th from 2 to 4:30. And this is more than just a signing. It's a songwriting and guitar clinic.
I'm going to try to speak with a little bit of wisdom about being a musician and do a little critiquing of songs that people bring in and question and answer about everything concerning my career and anything else that might be asked. Play a little bit, sing a little bit. It's going to be a musical day.
Yeah, it sounds great. And I think it's really awesome that you're actually critiquing some of the material from the audience. That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm very happy to do that. I have knowledge of songwriting. I've been writing songs for 50 years. So I know how to go about doing it, how to keep yourself from writing a bad song, writing only good songs. You have to be able to edit yourself. In any case, we'll talk about all that kind of stuff, and it'll be a fun day. To pin it down as to being an actual songwriter's clinic or guitar player's clinic, or maybe I can talk about how to write a book.
You can do that now as well, yeah. You mentioned, the fact that you tell stories and so forth, that these things, Carparelli's visit will also have a Q&A session. And what would you say is the most common question you're asked by fans? What do they most want to know about?
How old am I, really? No, I'm 71 years old. What do they ask me? That's hard to say. It varies from, does Alice actually own his snake? To what's it like to be on the road now at your age? So it can vary. It could be anything. Life questions, music questions, preposterous questions. Mm-hmm. It just depends.
And as well, you're in the Border City Music Project film, which premieres at the Capitol Theater here in Windsor on March 13th. And you're performing at the premiere along with Mark Farner, correct?
Well, there's going to be some kind of little get-together, jam session, I guess, from what I hear. I don't know really much about it. Okay. I will be there, and I'll do whatever is appropriate.
Cool.
I'm in that film, and John Gillies, the director, producer, creator of the whole thing, called me 2 days ago. And asked me permission to use one of my songs in the film. And I said, sure, go ahead. And he's going to use, I think, I Might As Well Be on Mars.
Okay.
A song that I wrote with Alice Cooper. And I have a version of that song that I recorded on one of my albums. And he's going to use that somewhere in the film. So that was kind of exciting.
Yeah, good stuff to see that you're such a big part of that film and obviously from the area here. Tickets for that are at eventbrite.ca. Be sure to visit the Maestro Dick Wagner at Carparelli Sound Lounge Sunday, March 16th from 2 to 4:30. Dick, thanks for being on the show, and I look forward to seeing you when you're in town.
All right, I'll see you, Danny. You take care, man.
And from Wings Over America, live album, originally released in 77, Medicine Jar. And we are back. You know, Wings Over America.
I got a little story about the medicine jar, too.
You do what?
I wasn't really a... I didn't really know Paul McCartney solo stuff too much. But I remember my brother had a reel-to-reel. And yeah. Someone turned it on at a party.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And started recording. And I don't think they knew it was on. But in the background was Medicine Jar.
Okay.
The tune?
Yeah.
And so I was like snooping on their party, like to go to hear what was going on. Because mm-hmm. I think I was, I don't know, 11 years old. My brother was a little older and he's partying and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And there was chicks there, I remember, in the room. So I was kind of trying to listen to what the conversation was. But when there was no conversation, Medicine Jar was on, I remember. And that was kind of how I got introduced to that tune, which is kind of interesting.
It's a cool song and one of the few that... that the guitar player sang. There was a couple tunes that here and there the guitar player sang songs. Denny Lane, right?
Denny Lane, that's the guy.
There's another really popular, I can't think of. It's on Speed of Sound. There's a really cool tune that he sings too. But anyway, he's pretty cool.
He is. And so are you.
And on the show today, we're talking about promotion,
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature, marketing your band, perhaps, live events and festival type things and whatnot.
No, not festivals.
Not festivals.
Festival's going to be something else altogether.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not talking about festivals.
Well, no, we're just doing the marketing and promotion and there was another word you used. I'm trying to think what it was.
I don't know, but we're going to talk about promoters and booking agents and club owners, marketing, posters and flyers, yeah, radio, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, almost where to begin, right? Concert promotion. How much promotion, as far as concerts go, happens here locally?
Not, well, how does it happen is the first question.
How does it happen? Where does it happen? I mean, one larger...
got two venues, really. The casino and WFCU.
Okay, right. I guess the casino, yeah.
Those are events that are big enough that people will buy ad time on a radio,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, the best kind of promotion you can get as far as letting people know that you have a show out. And if you have usually for those types of deals, there is a promoter involved.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the role of a promoter? Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely. To promote.
But what does he do?
Well, they do the legwork, the groundwork. Campaigning type stuff and
legs on the ground, people.
Probably takes care of all the flyers and the radio spots and ads and things like that.
But
like,
does he not buy the room? Doesn't he have to take care of all that stuff? Make sure there's the
pretty much. I think they do all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, because they're on the hook. From what I understand, a promoter is on the hook for everything. So they say, yes, I want this band. I gotta negotiate a price with the band for the market that we're playing in,
mm-hmm.
and I also have to negotiate a price for the room, and then I have to make sure that, you know, there's security and the concessions are there and there's enough bathrooms and all that kind of stuff. That's what
it's
understood.
The whole setup. It's like the producer of a film. They're the ones that do all that major work in the beginning, whether location scouting and all the phone calls and setting everything up and organizing.
And none of that has to do with actually promoting it. But he also has to do that. So I have to buy a radio time if it's, you know, within a budget of some kind.
That's all separate from promotion. So that's just another whole job in itself.
Right.
Setting all that up.
Yeah. So make sure you have some kind of way that people can get tickets or, you know, because nowadays actually having a physical ticket is... going by the wayside. A lot of people just...
Pretty much, yeah. We just did tickets for a show that we have coming up in April at The Loop. And we probably would have been maybe even better off just doing it online, really. But
right,
it was an out-of-town band and they kind of wanted actual paper tickets, especially for the first show here. And so that's what we did.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Another tune, sir.
What do you got?
This is, speaking of local bands, which we weren't actually, we're speaking of the local area, but this is a band that is local. I had the opportunity to see them last summer. They backed up the Sheepdogs at the wine festival there in Erie, in Amherstburg at the Shores of Erie wine fiesta there.
Sure.
It's the Walkervilles, and a good story I got about the Walkervilles, we went to go see Tedeschi Trucks in Toronto, and we're just sitting in our seats, and then the backup band comes on. I could see three guys coming out. I goes, well, this isn't Tedeschi Trucks, because there's like 11 people in that band. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, there's going to be a backup band, because I think we just got into town, got in our seats. Okay, what's going to happen? Oh, three guys walk out. Oh, okay, so we're not missing any of Tedeschi Trucks. There's going to be another band. And it turns out to be the Walkervilles. Hey, from Windsor, Ontario. And meanwhile, we're cool. In Massey Hall in Toronto. It was awesome. So here's Walkervilles with Get Myself Into It.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning, now podcasted and available available in iTunes.
Awesome. Did you put that artwork in iTunes?
I did. Oh, you know what? I changed it online, the actual JPEG.
Yeah.
Which is, I assumed what reads, you know, your artwork picture, but it never changed.
I think it takes at least 48 hours to propagate.
Okay.
So it may change.
So it might be the next day or something then. But yeah, very cool. And it's on the website.
Yes, it is. And I changed it on Facebook as well, which let's talk about Facebook.
Oh, cool,
in terms of what role
promotion
does,
and marketing?
Yeah.
Sure. I think it plays a huge role. And not only was it originally the role that you could just blast it out to all your friends and everything, but now you can make events and everything like that too, right? So
yeah, so if you're a band, you obviously have a page of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, not of some kind. It's a page. It's called a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Facebook pages are set up for if you
and you can choose it for what type of business you have, or band, or entertainment, or whatnot.
Business. What kind of business you got?
What kind of business you got going on?
I got a band, and I want to put my page on Facebook, and that's all we have, the Big JD, and which that's got to be.
We do.
I was just looking at them like, holy moly, you could spend a lot.
Go like it now.
Go like the page right now. There's a lot of stuff that you can put in your page, like a ton of stuff, and they allow you to spend money on your pages if you want to, and they'll do some promoting for you. Like you can spend like $20 a day if you wanted to.
Well, you can spend as much as you want to, put it that way. And you certainly can in promotion in general for your band.
Oh, sure. You can throw as much money out there as you want. And, and typically that's what when a band gets a record deal, that's what you're hoping that
you sure. get. Or you can pay for promotion from a company that just does those types of things, that promotes your band, that does all that for you. They get you all set up with the social media sites and everything, and they run all that for you, and they monitor all that, and you pay for that service. And they send out all your stuff and do all your, like, you know, it's probably pretty much endless what they'll do for you. But there are companies that, promotions companies, promotion and marketing, PR company that will just work for your group.
That's awesome. You'd have to think that a lot of bands would have to check out the return on investment with that. First, you got to have a good product to sell, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You want that return to ticket sales and CD sales and whatever it
merchandise,
is.
Merchandise, whatever.
Yeah. Merchandise, yeah. That's a whole other area as merchandise. You know, having t-shirts and stickers and patches and posters and I don't know what.
And a lot of bands, I'm going to say most bands, use another company to do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They have companies out there that handle the actual making of the merchandise and also handle the taking care of the payments and the shipping as well. So you don't have to do anything. You make as much money as you want by setting the prices of your merchandise yourself and then giving all that information to the company that's selling it for you.
And we'll pick up there after April Wine, Cat's Claw, from their first live album, which was recorded in Halifax. And this is actually the bass player singing.
She, her, living in a cat's claw mine, hoping you like what you find, but you better take it real slow. So many things you don't know. Sweeter than the sleep that comes to the brain, just upon the threshold of pain. That's all you have on me. Woman, won't you please set me free? You took me places higher than I ever wanted to go. Took me places higher than any man should ever hope to go. Torn between the heart and the soul, laughing while the body grows cold, somewhere that I should never be. Woman, won't you please let me be? Free me from the darkness here underground, screaming but I can't hear a sound, drowning in the pleasures of pain. I can't see the sky for the rain. Sharing, sinking like a stone. Sleep that comes to the brain, just upon the threshold of pain.
that's the hold you have over me. Woman, won't you please set me free?
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
One thing I want to mention about April Wine before we get back into the selling of merchandise and stuff. You know, you have like concert memories and stuff. One thing I have to remember about going.
You do?
Yeah, you
do. Must be nice. Yeah, go on.
If anybody knows Big JD, he has a lack of memory. But I remember going
to see. A lack of what? What did you say?
I remember going to see Styx, Cobo Hall.
Okay.
Cobo Arena.
With both Shaw and?
Oh, yeah. The whole
back in the 80s, maybe?
It was in their heyday for sure.
Yeah. DeYoung. That's what I meant to say. Dennis DeYoung.
Dennis DeYoung.
Not with him now.
And James Young. April Wine came out and just blew my, it was like, wow, that was freaking amazing.
Pretty good time for April Wine, I think.
Oh.
Gypsy Queen and all that, maybe at that time.
Gypsy Queen and, yeah, Ooh, What a Night and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And Styx had a really, really hard time following up with from April Wine. It was like one of those, wow.
Yeah,
it was
I'm
like
sure a, they had their
It was like a Black and Blue concert. Mm-hmm. Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult for all you kids out there.
Usually it's Miles Goodwin that sings, you know, and but... That's a cool tune, Cat's Claw, with Moffitt, I think, is the bass player.
Not quite sure.
And so we were talking about merchandise and things of that nature for your group. That's a whole other area of promotion and selling merchandise.
Well, it's a huge part of the revenue stream that bands take in, I think. Selling stuff at shows,
probably
for one.
The biggest revenue stream now for them because of the fact that music is so... too easily accessible everywhere and pirated and whatnot. So
right.
It's very difficult to sell your music.
It is difficult. Do you think that a lot of people buy music just to make sure that they really feel they are supporting the band?
I think a lot of people do, yeah.
I think for the most part, that's what...
A lot of times. I mean, there's places sometimes I can get music for free, but I will purchase the CD, you know what I mean? Because I want to support the act or... You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Especially
local bands.
Yeah,
people that you know personally or that you really dig. And
I'll pay for the disc or I'll pay for the download, you know, iTunes or whatever.
For sure, yeah.
The last one I just did was a friend of mine from Spex Howard just put out a single. And that's Andre Abreus, I think, is I'm not 100% sure how to say his group name, but you can get that on iTunes, actually. And he just put out a new single, and it was really cool.
I wanted to start singing this Three Stooges tune when you started talking
about it. However it goes.
B-O-Bo.
One of my favorites. We could have played that on the show. Back to promotion. So the revenue streams and buying local music or anybody's music when you can, in many cases, freely download it, you know.
Right. Now, but, let's say...
it's nice to support.
Let's say Metallica came out with a new album. Would you bootleg that? Or not bootleg it, but would you pirate that?
It depends. I don't know. Hard to say. I mean, if it, you know, is available that... I might check it out that way for sure. You know what I mean?
Another good way to check out stuff, though, is through...
Try before you buy policy.
Is YouTube. You try it on YouTube first.
Yeah, everything's on YouTube, too. They put up a... You know, if they show the album cover for the whole song and all the songs are there or whatever. And,
right.
Or sometimes a video, if a band actually puts out a video or something, sure, has it up there.
Yeah.
Like we do.
Who's we?
Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. And you have videos.
We have a demo video of the Tres Cojones Way.
You should be blasting that out constantly.
For promotion's sake.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We use it as a get hired tool, and it hasn't worked very good. I think the production was really poor. Oh, wait a minute. It was you.
Just kidding. So we know he's kidding. We know he's lying.
No, we're very happy with it. And it's just a matter of putting some boots on the ground and spreading the word.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always about blasting everything out. And how often you do that, how much you do that, when is it overkill even?
I was going to ask you that question. When does it get overkill? And people kind of have put a negative connotation to seeing you, like, holy moly, every day.
I guess it depends what you're doing. If you're blasting the same thing out all the time,
right?
Hey, this is me, go listen to my song. This is me, go listen to my song. This is me, go listen to my song. But if you put out a new song, I just released a new song. I have another new song. The album's out. We're playing. Here's a poster.
Yes.
We're doing a show. We're doing something else. Like, I mean, I think that stuff's all good. And if somebody's tired of seeing your posters and your posts and all that thing, that stuff, I mean, they can just stop it, right?
They could.
If they don't want to. But I think...
you don't want that, though, that's for sure.
No, you don't want that. But you have to publicize everything that you're doing and have going on, right? So
I would have to think so.
So, I don't know. I think you need to do that as much as possible.
I know you're on Facebook. Is there bands that you actually follow on Facebook that you see them every day in your feed?
Yeah, there are some.
Okay, me too. Yep. In fact, we're going to hear from them, one of these bands, right now, I think.
You know
That is the Winery Dogs with Desire, obviously. Who is the Winery Dogs? It's kind of, they're kind of like a super group.
I know Billy Sheehan's in the band.
Billy Sheehan's in the band. He's an amazing bass player. He's been in all over the place. And
what has he done, Billy Sheehan? He was in Talas, which is a cool band. That's Talas. Where we got Shy Boy, which David Lee Roth did later with Sheehan.
And he played with David Lee Roth as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
And Mr. Big. He was Mr. Big mm-hmm. for many mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. with Paul Gilbert. But another MIT grad is Richie Kotzen, who's the guitar player there, which I didn't realize he had such a bluesy side to him. He plays a Tele, custom Tele that Fender makes from a Richie Kotzen Telecaster. And he's got an amazing voice. He sounds like Soundgarden guy.
Chris Cornell.
Thank you very much. He has a little Chris Cornell in him. Like he's got some pipes on him. I was very pleasantly surprised. And on drums, Mike Portnoy, Dream Theater guy for 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
Did that
I just
one.
Watched a little clip on him on the internet doing a little practice thing on some little pads. Rubber pads. It was pretty cool.
Oh, he's way out there. And this is a kind of a departure for him to be in the Winery Dogs because he's just got like a regular old kit. When I say regular old, you know, five-piece, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally he's got like 25 cymbals and, you know, 12-piece toms. And
you get old and you don't want to pull cart all that stuff around anymore. You know how it is.
He's as old as the hills. So yeah, that's the Winery Dogs, really good band. So that's a one band that is in my Facebook feed that I hear from on a daily basis. And they put something up all the time because bands oftentimes are getting written about, or they got a new show that gets posted, or they got a new piece of merchandise in the store. So like you say, they mix it up every day.
And a lot of times it is to fans that they post all these things. You know, you got your fan list or the people that like your page, and you blast it out to these people, and not necessarily to everybody or your friends, or I mean, that might not be the ones that you include in, you know what I mean? You can include or exclude a lot of people in some of the stuff that goes onto your page and your feed and that kind of thing. So,
well, people have to follow
you. Keep that in mind too.
People follow you.
Right.
Your page. So you got to go to a page. You like it. As soon as you like a page, you're going to hear for these people on a regular basis.
Yeah.
For the most part. As long as they put something up, you're going to hear
about
it.
So it's all kind of in context as far as not somebody not getting blasted all the time with stuff that they didn't want from you.
Yep. I noticed that Facebook is actually changing in the way that they set up your feed. I assume that someone's, like, that's got to be a whole team.
What happened with the audio thing? Like, if you just post a link to an MP3, you don't get that player anymore.
I know. What's up with
that? So you got to use some service like, and I think that's probably wise because they work with other services possibly and they want you to use those, right? Yeah. So SoundCloud works really good and they get a player on there and whatnot.
Right in the page. You get to actually listen to SoundCloud.
And they used to have their own little, flash player or whatever it was.
Maybe that's what the issue was.
And that could have been the issue, sure.
They don't want to be flashing. They want to be
slashing.
Whatever. SoundCloud, great service. I wish I was a musician. I could put all my stuff up there.
Well, if you want to stick around after the show, I can give you a lesson.
Okay. How much?
Then you'll never be on SoundCloud.
It's a good place to put even any, like,
even any, our shows we could put on there and then have, you know what I mean? Because I posted a link to the last show, and if we use SoundCloud, then they'd at least get a player rather than going to, I guess, another window and opening, you know what I mean? So
that's an idea.
We should consider that. But the only thing is that then you have to upload it there, right?
Yes.
Not by link. So I'm uploading it here and I'm uploading it there. And I'm, you know what I mean? I'm trying to make it easy on myself as well.
You want to make it easy on yourself. And you shouldn't have to upload multiple times. It should be, that's what the whole purpose of RSS is, right? It should be something that's available to everybody as soon as you upload it. But the actual file just sits.
They should have a way to do that, even like with SoundCloud, that they could tap into something.
Yeah,
like,
SoundCloud,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, SoundCloud should be able to tap into something that they don't have to actually have the song on their servers.
Coming back, Kevin Blondin from Church House on You Talking to Me.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Like the website states, the Church House Network is a team of artists with a vision and a dream, facilitating a network of artists focused on perfecting the art of presentation and performance. My guest today, part of a large team that makes up the Church House Network, its founder and director of operations, Kevin Blond, and welcome to the show, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Big Judy?
I'm doing good. Great to finally talk to you. So the meaning behind the Church House Network, defining it, I know it's an ever-evolving thing. Tell us how it all started.
I guess the idea of it was I had some time to, you know, start another creative project, and it was going to either be another band, or I was kind of working on an idea with some friends about this network, kind of a artist helping artists type of idea.
Aside from working with local artists, the Church House Network brings acts in from out of town as well. And how important is that for Windsor and for the community?
I think it's a huge deal. It kind of keeps the whole thing moving. It helps bring attention to the shows, which is good for the local supporting acts, so that things don't get so stale around here with the same bands, the same things happening every weekend. You get more of a variety, more bands coming through town, and everybody gets to mix it up and bump elbows a little bit.
So you mentioned possibly starting another music project of your own. Tell us a little bit about your own music history.
Well, I started in high school with punk bands, and after that, just a whole bunch of garage bands as kind of a hobby. I haven't been writing music since the birth of Church House, really. Took a few years off, and then this idea just kind of consumed me.
Yeah, I'm sure it takes up quite a bit of your time. But do you ever get the itch, though, to go up and perform? Because, I mean, you deal with so many artists and bands and...
Oh, absolutely. I guess I always want to start another band again, but, you know,
maybe it makes it tough.
Maybe I could spare a couple hours a week for a jam band, but to find time to hit the road with it and stuff like that, I think would be really difficult to balance right now with everything else I got going on.
Primarily, is it all music shows that you put on, or is there anything else involved as well?
We've been involved with art shows, festivals, burlesque performances. So yeah, a lot of different stuff. The network is open to all artists. We do have services via social media as for all artists, from photography to writers to performing artists to dancers to musicians. Basically anybody can register profiles on the network, and from there we have a regular stream where we're sharing their fan pages, we're sharing their media, their music, videos.
That's awesome. The social media aspect of it, important as having the artist, is all the promotion that goes into it, and being able to utilize all that on your site. What kind of events have you guys got coming up?
Coming up, we have May 2nd at Fog Lounge. We got a band from PEI called The Meds, and they're coming with a band from Waterloo called The Royal Streets. It's part of like a Canadian Music Week Windsor showcase that we're having, where a couple bands that are coming to Toronto for CMW have booked with us around Windsor. So we got the 2nd at Fog. We got May 3rd at FM Lounge, a band from St. Catharines called Capture, and a band from Simcoe County called Sleepless. And tentatively, we've got a couple at the end of April that are unannounced right now.
Cool. Maybe you want to say something about the team behind the Church House Network. I know it's a large, dedicated group.
Yep, the team is all volunteer members, everybody just kind of offering their resources and doing what they can to help. Again, it's artists helping artists right to the very root of it. And, you know, I got partners to help out with the website, partners to help out with the sound, partners to help out with photography and video. And together we just do what we can to help the bands and help artists that are looking for extra exposure and basically looking for similar resources in Windsor.
Great stuff. And where can listeners find more information?
We can be found at www.churchhouse.ca. That's CHURCHOUSE.ca. And pretty easy to find on Facebook and Twitter as well.
And that's all accessible as well from the churchhouse.ca website, right? All those links.
Absolutely.
There you have it. Check out churchhouse.ca. Kevin, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Did you want to play another song, JD? You want to hear two?
Yes, absolutely. Superstar, a 69 song written by Bonnie Bramlett and Leon Russell. Some credit also given to Delaney Bramlett.
You're not pronouncing that right. Bramlett, is it?
Is it Bramlett? It's B-R-A-M-L-E-T-T.
Okay.
And I don't really know who these people are, except for the fact they played with
Eric Clapton.
But I don't know other stuff that they did.
The Delaney
family and friends thing or whatever it was.
Yeah.
What else did they do? Was there anything else, some other popular stuff they did? Or I don't even know.
I'm not familiar with it.
But this song is popular and kind of, I guess, more made popular by the Carpenters. Other people have covered it, Superstar, but they did in 1971. This particular version, however, is by the punk band Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. They do all cover songs.
Awesome.
And in kind of keeping with the theme of today's show, for me, I'm doing all live songs. And so this is live at a bar mitzvah from their CD, Ruin Johnny's Bar Mitzvah, Superstar. And so that's a wrap this week.
Good show, Big JD.
Yeah.
What do we got on tap for next week? Anything planned?
We do. I think, is it next week that we're talking about the Spotify and the online music?
Services.
Services, yeah.
Yeah.
And online radio and all that kind of stuff?
Sure.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Mix it up a little.
Everything that comes to our mind.
There you go. We'll see everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening. Yeah, see you next week.
We hope you have a great day, and be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place, for Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.